We're going to worship in a little bit, but before we do that, I just wanted to set the scene for it. And to do that, I was just start there in Matthew 4. In Matthew 4, verse 8, it's the temptations of Jesus. And there we read that the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came to attend him. I want us just to take a few minutes just to look at this from the viewpoint of worship. I want us to see that there is warfare over worship. In fact, worship is warfare. There is a spiritual resistance to the worship of God. It goes against the flesh. Satan opposes it. It's something that we need to be mindful of. And in this encounter, did you see where Satan took Jesus? He took him to a very high place. One of the things that we are seeing in these days about the super rich right now, you know, people who have got absolutely everything that money can buy, and yet you kind of sense they are still not satisfied. So you have Richard Branson, who has got Virgin Atlantic, got to get up high in that. Or Jeff Bezos with Blue Origin, similar thing. Or Elon Musk with SpaceX. They're all looking to go higher, to go further. They sense there's something beyond. And they are kind of struggling for it. They know that there's something beyond where we are. We also see it every day in everyday life, in the workplace, but in particular, you know, people talk about, you know, going up the ladder, looking for promotion, you know, want to be top of the tree, whatever. There's something about it, the expectation of progressing. There's nothing inherently wrong with that, but you know, when it becomes obsessional, it is taking the place of other things. And perhaps you can even get that in family and friendships. You know, I want this person to be my best friend. I want them to be a better friend than, you know, to this other person, whatever it might be. Or you might have a favourite son, daughter. You know, it might be something within that. It can be there. One of the Christian buzz phrases is going to another level. You know, it's one of the things. Oh, we're going to another level. But let me just remind you that Jesus tells us that the path to true greatness is actually to go lower. So when we're thinking about going to another level, God is taking us lower. That is where he wants us to go. He wants us to take us to that low place. And in that place, we discover him in a fresh and a deeper way. There's also something stunning about seeing the world from space. Those of us who are old enough remember the first pictures coming back. And they're absolutely stunning when you could see, you know, just the view back of the Earth from space and see that just its incredible beauty. And then I kind of sense that when it says that he took Jesus to a high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in an instant, I think that's where he took it, that he could see the whole of the Earth in just that one view. I think it's still what Satan was doing there in saying that he was, if you like, creating an illusion of what that was like. Still, it's what he does. for us. He creates illusion. If you do this, if you do that. So it might be that, you know, we pursue money, that if you have more money, and, you know, I know sometimes that, you know, we do need additional, but if it's our goal, or, you know, if you want more fame, if you want to be known, if it's about new relationships or about food or drink, it could be all kinds of things. All of those things, of course, are to be enjoyed in a godly way, but when they're put in the place of worshipping, when they're put in the place of worshipping God, then that is a wrong place to be in. In fact, there is one way of knowing if we're worshipping something or someone other than God, and that is if it becomes all-consuming. You know, we just have to keep going back for more. We just can't break free from it. We need more and more of whatever it is, greater and greater, in order to get that same buzz, that same place. And as you will be fully aware, that we are living in a world that is full of addictions of one kind or another. Not just the things that we maybe traditionally think of, although they can have terrible consequences, but there is one way that we can check out whether we are struggling with addictions. I mean, just try going without your favourite food or your favourite drink. Try going without social media. Try going without sports, exercise, for a bit. So, I mean, it can be anything. They don't have to be intrinsically bad at all, but we can be so caught up with them. We're trying to get their fulfillment from them. And you know, Jubilee, which is kind of, you know, what we're all about, so what our calling is, what every Christian's calling is, really, it is all counter to that. You remember how when Jesus read that, he said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." I just love that reminder. He is upon us with purpose, with reason. He has anointed us. Do you understand the anointing that we each have in Jesus? He has anointed us to proclaim good news to the poor. We are to be good news in a world awash with bad news. And so he goes on to say, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." And there's so many broken people about, so many brokenhearted people around that God is sending us to with a good news message. But within it also, we have these other things. He says this, to proclaim freedom for the captives. There are so many people, they may not be literally captive, but they are captive to behaviours, they're captive to thinking, they're captive to all kinds of issues and situations. And we have a news that in God we can be set free from captivity. Recovery of sight for the blind. Release from darkness for the prisoner. That's the prayer. God, would you lift the veil from their eyes, that they might not think they're walking in darkness, but they cannot see the truth of who Jesus is. They are in their darkness. We have a message. We have a declaration, a prayer. Lord, lift the veil from their eyes. Remove it from their hearts. Unblock their ears, that they may be able to see and hear and respond to this good news of who you are. They're in darkness, and yet they think they are in the light. But the reality is there, then we have that. And to set the oppressed free. There's so many oppressed people, oppressed by all sorts of... It's a wonderful message and a wonderful commissioning that we have, that we might see people set free, released, delivered, made whole in Jesus. We're also living in an instant world. It's got to be instant communications, hasn't it? Instant responses, instant solutions. You know, we have to, you know, got to be fixed now, got to be sorted now, we've got to have an answer now to whatever this situation is. Instant deliveries. I mean, delivery tomorrow is way too late, so we've got to have it delivered today, this afternoon. It's got to be here. You know, can't wait a moment longer for those things. Instant satisfaction. There's something there that we think we can get it from a whole variety of places. Instant success. That, you know, That would go through a process there. But actually, there is great value in the process. There is great value in the journey. And we want to be able to short-circuit that, particularly in the age in which we live. But there is something to be learnt. There is something to be gained in the process, in the journey. It strengthens us. It matures us in the process. It creates pathways. It creates memories. You talk to any athlete, and they know that. There are memories are laid down through the process of training, through the discipline of that repetitive practice. There's something that God puts in there. He puts in godly pathways, if you like, as we are trained in righteousness, that we have what we need, so that when we come across the challenges and the difficulties, we have something in place. And we need to thank God for those times of delay, those times of having to press in when it was difficult. There is something that is taking shape in us. God has never been in a hurry, but he has always been on time. I love there's a verse there, a little passage there in 2 Peter that I love very much. You'll have heard me quoting it, I'm sure, many times. It says this in 2 Peter 3, verse 8, it says this: "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." And then going on to say, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise," as some understand slowness. I'm thinking about God's promises to you. Think about the things that you are still waiting for. The answers to prayer, the breakthrough. We need to be mindful. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. It would be so easy. "God, when are you going to do this thing?" At exactly the right time. We need to trust him. He knows the timing. His timing is perfect. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. Instead, he is patient with you." As you look back over your life, can you see God's patience with you? As you look back through that, God, he is. Even, you know, before you came to faith, do you see God's patience with you throughout those years of life? When you look back and you see the journey that God has taken you on, but God has walked you through, he is so patient. The danger is sometimes that we can have gone through those years of God working in us, patiently with us, and we suddenly get our light bulb moment, and we suddenly want everybody else to have got it instantly. It's taken us 20 years to get there, now why can't they see it? What's going on? We need to be patient. God is patient with us. And the reason, he doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants everyone to come to repentance. That's the greatest goal of life, isn't it? The greatest goal is that we might come into that place of coming in repentance and receiving the forgiveness and new life that is to be found in Jesus and Jesus alone. There's nothing that will ever top that. It's the greatest thing for anyone. You see, Satan often offered Jesus, and he offers us a shortcut. He's offering Jesus a shortcut to worship. And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." It's not that God was somehow, you know, self-promoting. He had some self-aggrandizement. He was just infatuated with himself, and he was just demanding this worship. Because with God there is no spin. There is no creating of an image that he wants to portray. He's not presenting a public face, anything like that. He's not simply applying some kind of gloss. He is altogether perfect. He's altogether perfect. We worship, as someone said, because of his worthship. He is worthy of all worship. Totally, utterly, fully. We live in a fallen world. There are imperfections absolutely everywhere. But against that backdrop, people strive for perfection. That there is just something within us that just pursues, seeks perfection. And so people, you know, they hunt for the perfect diamond, they hunt for the purest crystal. The performer is trying to come up with the perfect performance. If I can just perfect this, whatever it is, whether it's an instrument, whether it's a dramatic thing, whatever it might be, just if I can just deliver this thing perfectly, that's the goal. And then, of course, the computer programs, Photoshop, and all sorts of other clever things beyond anything I understand, I don't understand any of it, but they are designed to airbrush out any imperfections. They create an illusion of perfection in what is displayed. If there is a snowstorm, I don't think we're going to get one this coming week, what do you think? But if there was a snowstorm, we're drawn to the white, the pure landscape that is just brushed with that incredible white, unbroken snowscape until it all turns slushy and then we can't wait to get rid of it. But there's something about it. It's a picture of perfection when it's there. Or we can be in awe of a sunrise, a sunset that's just absolutely awe-inspiring. It just seems perfect. We see that rainbow that is absolutely full and it's every bit there. It goes right across. We see it and it just kind of captivates you in that moment. You look at a flower, you look at the intricacies of the petals and just the heart of it and everything about it, and you're just captivated by just this perfection of all of that. There's something within each of us that is looking for perfection. When I say that, I'm not talking about being a perfectionist, because that is a harsh taskmaster. It leads us into bondage. It's an unattainable goal. You can never do enough. Lives are ruined through perfectionism, trying to be that. But God is not aiming for perfection. He is perfect. And to deny that truth would be to mar perfection. God is perfect in every way. And in our worship, what we're doing, we are worshipping the perfect Father. We're worshipping the perfect Saviour. We're worshipping the perfect Provider, the perfect Counselor, the perfect Companion. We're coming to worship the one who is perfect love. He is perfect justice. He is perfect wisdom. Whatever it is you think about, he is perfection in all of those areas. He is the one who became the perfect sacrifice for you and for me. And so we are made complete as we worship. That's what happens. I began by saying worship is warfare, that there's a footnote to the conversation between Satan and Jesus that is often quickly passed over. At the end it says there in verse 11, then the devil left him and angels came and attended him. When we worship, Satan cannot stay. When we worship God, Satan cannot stay. Why? He just absolutely hates God being worshipped. He cannot stay. When we worship, he leaves. And we press into his presence. And I think sometimes, if he can't get us to stop worshipping, he will do his best to distract us as we worship. You get every other thought pop into your head as you're worshipping. Or maybe he causes division over worship. We all get caught up with our preferred ways and styles and whatever else. Or it even creates a reaction in us that we kind of don't like worship even. Pulls us away from worship. But when we press into that, it's warfare as we press in. And we refuse to be distracted. We refuse to do anything that would pull us away from worship. Almost the The last psalm, Psalm 149, says this: "May the praise of God be at our mouths and a double-edged sword in our hands." May the praise of God be in our mouths and a double-edged sword in our hands. It's the warfare of worship within that. And as we worship, it brings breakthrough. As we worship, it causes the enemy to flee. And do you know what? It even brings ministering angels. Did you see that at the end of that section? They come as we worship. We come as we worship in his presence. So, Father, we just thank you that we have this opportunity to come to worship you. We want to lift your name high. You are worthy of all worship. You're worthy of all honor and glory and praise. And we thank you, Lord, that we have this privilege of coming together. All of life is worship in one sense, but we have this opportunity of meeting together in your presence to worship you, that you may be exalted, that you may be lifted high. Lord, that we join with all heaven, we join with those around the earth today with that one heart's desire to worship you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would see breakthroughs as we worship, that you would take us deeper into your presence, that you would give us fresh revelation of just how glorious you are, that you might be exalted, that you might be worshipped, that you might be lifted high, that we might be drawn deeper into your intimate presence, that you would minister to our hearts, that you would set captives free, Lord, as we worship, that you would loose us to worship you in fresh ways, that you would come and lift the veil from our eyes where we have become blinded, that you would refocus us where we've become distracted. Lord, whatever is going on, Lord, bring healing to our bodies as we worship, that you may receive the glory and praise that is due to your name, that you would comfort us where we are troubled and grieving, that you would come and restore us in you. So we bless you and thank you for your love, your goodness, for who you are, for inviting us, to give us the capacity to worship, that you've given us voices that some of us can sing and some of us just make a joyful noise. But Lord, I just thank you for that we can come and do that. Lord, and just be exalted, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.